Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen. Won't you look over and look somebody dead in the eye and say, I see the evidence of God's goodness all over your life. I see the evidence, brother. Amen. Prophesy. See the goodness. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God this morning for our worship team, and just thank God for a place that we can worship God freely, you know, without any hindrance or, you know, or anything that's going on to try to stop us from really worshiping God. So we thank God for you this morning. Thank God for the opportunity to share the word of God this morning. And, you know, we thank God for you being here. And I want to talk to you this morning some things that, have you ever felt stuck? Anybody ever just felt stuck before? Oh, okay, so I'm not alone this morning. Okay. Stuck where, though, right? How many know spiritually sometimes we can get stuck? Amen? But what we have to understand, there's a purpose for that. And I'm learning. Say, John is learning. Okay, I'm learning that there is something that Jesus gave us. And I think sometimes we take it for granted, you know. And what I want to share with you this morning is learning to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Learning to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to give you just a few definitions on cooperate, okay? And one of them is so powerful that our pastor has been preaching on it. And I tell you, I was flipping over on the inside when he preached on this a couple of Sundays ago when he said that you have been crucified with Christ. The old man is dead. Amen? Yes. You know, but the reality of that is that we have to reckon him dead. Why? Because when he died on the cross, guess who died with him? We did. The Bible said, he who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives on the inside of me. Amen? So we have to reckon ourselves to be dead. Amen? You know, so with that, you know, one of the definitions that I was, as I was studying this, it said that, listen to this, this is a Greek definition for co. It says the Greek meaning for it means closest as possible union. Close as possible union. It means that I was resurrected in union with Christ, the Messiah. And another word for co means to together, and operate, the operate means working together. See, and Jesus said this in the Word of God in Matthew's chapter 14 and verse 16. I'll begin reading there. But what we want to talk about is cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Now, when we begin to cooperate with him, the Bible said that he's going to lead and guide us into what? All truth. So what we got to begin to do is let the Holy Spirit begin to teach us truth and dispel the lies that the enemy has told us. A lot of times, you know, Paul said in the chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. And we take every thought captive through the obedience of Christ. Now, for years, I thought it was my obedience, but it doesn't say my obedience. It says the obedience of Christ. And how many know that Jesus said, not my will, but thine will be done. He was so obedient to the Father that when he went to the cross, he prayed and said, God, if it be possible, let it pass from me. But if it's not, nevertheless, but thy will be done. And how many know Jesus said, so be it, Lord, your will be done. And his obedience, amen, through his obedience, he conquered hell, death, and the grave. Amen. He took the keys from the devil. He no longer has the keys anymore. But guess who has the keys? Say me. He said, I give unto you the keys. I give you the keys. Okay? But see, what we have to understand, many a times we have only used the Holy Spirit as an emotional thing. And how many know it can be emotions, because God gave us our emotions. And how many know when the Holy Spirit moves upon us, we can get emotional. But how many know we don't need to limit him to just emotions? See, he does so much more. See, do you realize that we're living in the age of Holy Spirit? See, and the church is to be what? Governed by who? Holy Spirit. That's why when you see the Spirit of God moving, don't take it for granted. When you hear words of prophetic words coming forth, words of interpretation, tongues of interpretation, when you hear these things, don't take it lightly. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is trying to get us unstuck. See, but we can get stuck. Why? Because we become familiar. And I like what Bobby Connor said years ago. We are way too familiar with a God that we barely know. We take him for granted. We think, well, hey, I know that. But how many know that we don't know it all yet? But we're learning. And see, we don't want to be ever learning, but we want to learn and come to the knowledge of the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus Christ is the truth. So when Jesus is teaching the word of God here in Matthew's, let me get back to my definition here, you know, and it means to be close as possible in union with him. Do you know that the Bible said he was working with them? When Jesus was teaching the disciples, I mean, you know, he gave them authority to do certain things. But he told them, he said, but don't go into the way of who? The Samaritans or the Gentiles, okay? But now, how many know there is no limits on what the Holy Spirit want to lead us to do? Why? Because Jesus have broken down the wall of partition that separated the human race, that separated Jews and Gentiles, that separated, you know, people of different tribes and different things. Now we all have access to God through who? Jesus Christ. Amen. He broke down the wall of partition. And now we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We can come boldly. But sometimes, you know, when we have to understand that Jesus, when he said this, you know, that we have to, our identity, we have to understand our identity is in him. But the enemy, we got to let go of the lies that the enemy keep whispering. You know. And a couple of months ago, I went through a season, you know, of just battling. You know, how many of you just, you know, seemed like everywhere you turn around, there was something come up. You know, seemed like, you know, oh, Lord, is this all I got is just trials and tribulation? But, you know, God began to show me something in the Word of God. And I want to share it with you, because sometimes we think that the Holy Spirit It's just going to lead us in an emotional thing. But you got to understand something about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he will lead you in a desert. I know that somebody said, oh, I thought he was right, but I see now he's off. Immediately after Jesus was confirmed, the Father God spoke to him. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I want to relate to you today. You are his beloved sons and daughters in whom he is well pleased. You are his sons and daughters in whom he is well pleased. You mean God is pleased in me? Yes. You're the apple of his eye. You're his treasure. You're his possession. He died for you to have relationship with him. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead us. And you'll say, well, you know, I don't know if that's scripture or not. Well, what does Matthew 4, right after God confirmed him, right after God told him who he was, right after, think about it. The Bible says, and Jesus was led by the Spirit into now it says wilderness, but over, when you go over to Israel, really, it's a desert. And how many know what's in a desert? Sometimes some dry places, a lack of water. But Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And the river and the water that he drink of would be like a river. Amen? But the Spirit led him into the wilderness. Number one, the first thing the enemy said to him, if. Now, what did God just tell him? What did God just tell him? You are my son. Now, the devil said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be what? Made bread. Because Jesus had been fasting, and guess what? The enemy, oh, he hungry, so now I got him. But how many know, what did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. A precise word from God will bring refreshment to you in a desert. A fresh word from God, a precise word from him. Just one word. He can speak one word and you can just boom, automatic joy just bubbling up, peace just overshadowing you. Why? Just one word that he can speak. That's how powerful our God is. Okay? So when we get stuck, what the Holy Spirit wants to do in those seasons is develop us. Well, I'm already like Jesus. You got Jesus in you. See? And when you got saved, he came in you to live in you. But how many know you wasn't completely conformed to the image of God? Transformation takes place by what? Learning of him. Pastor Terry shared a powerful word last Sunday. Becoming one with him. When we become one with him, then transformation takes place. Now, I want to back up. We do have the image of God, but how many know we are being developed on the inside to begin to live out that resurrected life of the new creation? See? But what we have to understand, when we begin to go through things, those lonely places that we feel, those times that our flesh feel like that we're backsliding, that we're not worthy anymore. But how many know we don't live by feelings? We live by faith. We walk by faith. See, faith is not only the things hoped for, but it is the conviction that we have, that what God has said, we are so convinced on what God has said to where when we go through, we don't come unglued, but we begin to be mounted up by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's transforming us into a place, into a walk in a life to where we're not relying upon feelings. Do I feel like, am I hollering? Okay. All right. Okay, I don't want to try to blast you, but okay. But see, the Holy Spirit has been given to us to empower us to live a victorious life when we go to heaven. Watch out. He has been given to us to empower us to live a victorious life in planet Earth. We are the light of the world. We are a city that sit on a hill. We are the salt of the earth. See, but if we, every time we go through something, don't complain like John. Because I know y'all don't complain, right? Not at all. But sometimes we think, well, what is the purpose of all this? It is the purpose of all this is to develop you in Christ-likeness. See, because sometimes when we feel stuck, it's an indication sometimes that we need to begin to realign ourselves. Get back in alignment. Say, you know, I think about how many of you know when a car is out of alignment, you know, if you ain't careful, you know, it can cost you a lot. It can cause you a front end. It can cause you some tires. Amen. So when you see that tire's wearing out on the outside or the inside, immediately that's an indication that you need to what? Line it up, realign your front end. Why? Because it's wearing the tires out either on the outside or the inside, okay? So what is that saying? There's an indication. So when I feel like I'm stuck, when I feel like that things are not going the way that the Word of God said they should be going, I need to back up and realign myself and see, okay, John, what's going on here? Don't get upset and quit. Just realign yourself. Why? Because what the Holy Spirit is doing, he's going to begin to develop you and teach you, okay? Now, I said, let's go. Did I tell you to go to St. John 14? Did I ask you to go there? Okay, St. John chapter 14, verse 16. I got a bad habit of saying, you know, well, let's go here. And I thought, well, did I tell them what chapter to go? Okay. It says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Look at your neighbor and say, he's giving us another helper. Okay? That he may be with you for just a minute or two. Forever. Forever. See, he's with you forever. And he's empowering you to live the victorious life in the earth. Why do I need to be victorious? So I can display who God is on the inside of me, and the world will see my light and glorify my Father who is in heaven. But if the world see me complaining and just fussing and having a fit, I mean, you know, I don't want none of that. I got enough of that. Amen? But the world need to see the joy of the Lord, the peace of God being displayed through us. Let's read. It says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. Do you realize Jesus was helping them all alone before he went to the cross? He was with them. But while Jesus was with them, what was Jesus doing? He was teaching them how to be led by the Spirit of God and how to hear from God. He was teaching them how to be led by the Spirit and how to be sensitive to God. You say, how could you say that? Many a times Jesus would take opportunities when they're going through something. For example, Jesus said, all right, get in the boat and let's go to the other side. And immediately when they got in the boat and was started to the other side, how many know a storm came? But Jesus is about to teach them something here. You got to speak to the storm. Why? Because when he spoke to the storm, there was a great calm. And he looked at them and he said, oh, you of little faith. Now, they had a little faith, but I mean, you know, they wasn't acting on it. They wasn't acting on it. And you and I need to begin to speak to different situations that come in our lives. Instead of saying, Lord, woe me. No, say, no, this is not who God says I am. But see, we have to speak. And do you know that the Bible said, for we have not a high priest. We have a great high priest, you know, that we have this confession to make to our high priest. And how many know Jesus is our high priest? Okay? And we, our confession to him is, that word confession means to say the same thing. Say the same thing that what Jesus said about you. Jesus didn't say that he helped those that helped themselves. You know, people say, you know, now God only helped those that helped themselves. How many know he sent you a helper to help you? Because we can't help ourselves. Sometimes that's the problem. We're trying to help ourselves and saying, God, help me right here, Lord. Give me some wisdom. Give me some understanding, okay? All right. So he will be with you forever, okay? The word that he said here, he said, I will give you another. Can we just stop right there and just kind of, what he was saying is this. Jesus said, I will give you another helper. That word another means, in the Greek, another one means another of the same kind. How many ever went through something? Lord, I wish Jesus was just here. Jesus has given you the power that he was operating with. The same spirit that was in Christ is in you. Do you believe that? So, but it don't hinder, it don't stop us from going through things, but what the Holy Spirit do when we go through things is begin to grow us up so that things don't control us. Feelings don't control us. Do you realize if you ain't careful, your feelings will have you thinking things that are not true? It will have you thinking things that's not true. Well, God don't love me. That's a lie. The Bible said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The Bible said he demonstrated his love to us while we were yet sinners. He loved you with an everlasting love. He loved you so much to where he said, I'm gonna send my son to die for you. I mean, what more love can he give us than what he's already given? See, those are lies that the enemy, he's good at what he does. He's a liar. Jesus said, and the father's of it. It originates, the lie originates from him. So what we have to understand is that we have the same spirit. In Romans it said, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So we have to go beyond. What the Holy Spirit, another thing the Holy Spirit does, it makes us aware. Aware of who we are in Christ. Watch this. one of the greatest things that I have experienced growing as a Christian is becoming aware of John. Aware of John. John, why did you think that way? That ain't what the words say about you. Right, the word don't say that about me. Let me back up. Now, Jesus said, John, you're a blessed man. John, you have the peace of God. John, I've given you joy. See, when they were going on that boat to the other side, Jesus never told them that they were going to encounter a storm. But he said, we're going to the other side. Now, all the people that know the word of God know that Jesus was the word speaking. How many know? I don't care what kind of storm was coming up. I don't care what kind of wind was blowing. We're going to the other side. Because Jesus have said, you're going to the other side. The word have said, you're going to the other side. See, just because we go through storms, it don't stifle out the life of God. But what God is trying to do is train us to understand, even though you go through the storm, I don't change. I'm in it with you. But what the storm does for me, it changes John. My perception of God is still the same. He's still the El Shaddai. He's still Jehovah Jireh. He's still Elohim. When I go through the storms, he don't cease being God, but he's God greater. Why? Because he's the God that calmed the storm. And my confidence is not in John, but I'm aware of what's on the inside of me. It's greater than whatever this world would bring to me. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. But I hadn't always known this. When I go, used to go through things, I said, man, it don't feel good, but it's good for you. How many ever heard that before? Taking that cast off, hey, it don't taste good. It's good for you, boy. Get it in there. It's going to help you. So he said, I'm giving you another one just like me. Just like me. So when I go through things now, I begin to, the awareness of who he is on the inside of me empowers me to not give up. Jesus is like, he will give you something and then turn around and test you. You say, Lord, you just gave me this great revelation, and now all of a sudden, you're testing me. I mean, you know, the word will be tested. And when the word is tested and you pass the test, how many know that's yours to keep? That's yours to keep. And what it does, it makes you solid as a rock. Amen? So, let me move on here. Let's look at, I told you, in St. John. It says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Let's drop down to verse 25, 14, it says, these things have I spoken to you while abiding with you, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you what? All things. See, the awareness that he's teaching me how to overcome this world. Now you say, well, we've already overcome, but how many know in our experience we're still yet overcoming this world? The Bible says that whatsoever is born of God overcome this world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And how many know our conviction will be tested from time to time. See, and what you value, you will hold on to. And God is trying to value, get you to value what he said, that you are so convinced on what he said. Now, Paul used this word. He was so persuaded that what God has said, he would perform it. And that's where we got to get, church, that we are so convinced that what God has said, he's going to do it regardless what it looked like or what it feel like. Because when you go through the storm, guess what you're going to have when you come out? A testimony. No test, no testimony. So you're going to be tried, church. He said, and I quote this scripture probably every time I preach, basically, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. See, tribulation, why? We're living in a fallen world, a broken world, but we're here to make a difference. We love God, we love people, we make a difference. But see, if you get down every time you go through, you can't make a difference. And the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, that when you go through, he's going to empower you, but you got to learn the lesson. There is something to learn whatever you're going through. When you feel stuck, when you feel like don't nobody love you, when you feel like don't nobody care about you, look what, ain't nobody calling me, ain't nobody giving me encouragement. You got to get yourself up off that table and dust your Bible off and begin to read the word of God and begin to confess that word, what God has said to you, and begin to get up and start speaking the word over your life. Because you're messing with an enemy that don't care how you feel. He don't care that you don't feel loved. Matter of fact, he'll edge it on. No, they don't love you. Look at what, ain't nobody called you. And here we go. Here we go. Amen. This is real stuff, real life. We go through real stuff. I'm telling you, a couple of months, I felt like, my God, Lord, I thought I had it, but Lord, just seemed like I was wanting to quit. Oh, that preacher wanting to quit. Yeah, no, I know he was. No, you didn't know that? Because I didn't tell nobody. But you know what I did? I said, God, what is this? He said, John, what are you serving me for? I said, because I love you, Lord. He said, well, keep on loving me. Because sometimes God will check your motive. Why do you want me to do that, John? Because, God, I just want to come out of this victorious. I want to live for you, Lord. And God, he spoke to me sitting right there in my seat. He told me, he said, John, months ago, he told me that. He said, John, I'm not looking for your perfection. I'm looking for your surrender. And now this stuff has come upon me, and you know what God is saying? I want you to surrender it to me. Let me mold you, John. Let me shape you, John. Because see, what's going to happen, John, you're going to be going through this, and you let me begin to shape my image on the inside of you. You let me begin to grow you up, John, and this won't bother you no more. You will begin to love me in spite of whoever come and pat you on the back. You'll begin to love me if somebody don't come and give you something. You'll love me for who I am. And that's what God wants from each and every one of us. Not for what we can get. Not for a goosebump. Because we love you and you gave your life for me and I'm in relationship with you and I want to please you more than I want to please myself. I want to please you, God, if I don't ever get a pat on the back. And you know what? When you take on that attitude, people just come in and encourage you. Oh, okay. Thank you. But sometimes you have to walk that. See, it's a lonely road, but we're not alone. It just feels like we're alone. Jesus said, I'm never alone. He said, I never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you to the very end. And he's not a liar. Amen. But we do go through things. I felt stuck. And I said, God, what is this? But he made me aware of his presence. And you know what I start doing? In spite of what I feel, I go by what this says. Because my feelings will fluctuate. And sometimes God is trying to grow us up so that we're not relying on a feeling, but we're relying on him. See, it ain't about John. John is dead. And God has a sense of humor, okay? Let me show you, when I was going through, and it just, have you ever felt like God is smiling at you? You messed up and you got jacked up and God is just, oh, bless his heart. Bless his heart. He's trying so hard. And I began to say, but God, why do I have to feel this way? John, didn't you ask me to help you to grow out of your feelings? Yeah, I did, Lord. Okay, this is part of your training, son. And guess what? I'm learning to walk without feeling it. If I get a goosebumps, hallelujah. Glory to God. I know his presence is real. But there is another assurance that I have that's greater than a goosebump, and it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that's reminding me, bringing back to my remembrance what he has said about me. He said, John, you're righteous. You are in right standing with me. You got to understand, John, that I'm sanctifying you. I'm growing you up, John. See, it's not about me. Sometimes when we go through, well, Lord, look how they're making me fit. Well, you're supposed to be dead. Oh, that's the way it works. Yes, son, that's the way it works. Consider yourself dead. And you know what I started saying? How can a dead man get mad? How can a dead man feel like nobody loves him? When you're dead, you're dead, amen? It don't matter who loves you, amen? You're dead. Yeah, but you know, that's just you saying that. He said, reckon it to be so. Reckon it to be so. You know. And that's why sometimes we give up right at the point when God is saying, I'm trying to get you to a place that this don't bother you no more, that this don't lord it over you no more. I'm your Lord. See? And I'm going to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. I have chose to operate with the Holy Spirit. And when you start talking this way, seem like the devil seek every devil hound, every demonic hound after you. But don't fret. Don't be afraid of that. Let him know greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Jesus have defeated Satan. He stripped him of his power. And guess what? I have the power now. And devil, you got to get behind me. You got to let him know, I'm a son of God. Now, when you go through enough, it's not a arrogant thing. It's not that you're puffed up. Why? Because Jesus popped your bubble, and you ain't all that. You ain't all that. But because of my inheritance, I can talk like this. He's my Lord and Savior. He's my King. Amen? And guess what? I have privileges in him. I'm not boasting in John, but I boast in him. As Paul said, if there's any good thing, it's because of God's grace working on the inside of me. And he's the one that's changing me. He's the one rearranging me. He's the one that's correcting me. He's the one that's maturing me. It's not my own intellect, but it is the power of the Holy Spirit when I cooperate. Because you can't resist him. Well, I can only submit when it's good stuff. You know, when he asks me to love people, that's another story. Uh-uh, you ain't getting off that easy. He said, love your enemies. Do good to them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. See, the kingdom is upside down, amen? And we got to learn how to operate in this kingdom of God so that we'll quit getting frustrated when we go through things. It's only a promotion coming when you go through. God is going to, he's going to mature you so that you're able to walk through this world without being hindered by your feelings. So we got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's the teacher. And some people don't take this the wrong way. Well, if the Holy Spirit my teacher, I don't need no man to teach me nothing. I don't need no women. No, I don't need nobody to teach. How many know God uses people? And the Bible said he put the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, teacher for the perfecting of the saints. We need these gifts operating in the body of Christ so that we will grow and be perfected in him. But I don't need no man to, yes, you do too. Why? Because God has poured himself in vessels that have been through the fire so that they would help you get through the fire. Don't be a Lone Ranger. The Lone Rangers get ambushed. You better have your Tonto somewhere in the wing. That when you get knocked off the horse, hey, Tonto, help me here. I know it's funny, but it's the truth. You need a pastor that will teach you and tell you the truth. We need the prophets. We need the apostles. We need the evangelists. We need the teachers. Why? Because they're going to help us to grow and mature in the full stature of Christ. When you're alone, you can be ambushed. That's what the enemy really want to do, is isolate us. And I'm closing. Uh-oh. See, this illustration, do you know that lions are perfectors in hunters? They know how to get their prey isolated. See, and that's what the enemy want to do sometimes. He want to get you isolated. Well, won't you just quit the church? Won't you just quit going? You know, don't nobody love you. Just quit going. You know, he's trying to isolate you, but you need to tell him, shut up. I'm going to the house of God. I'm not looking for praise of men. I'm going to praise God, and I'm saying, God, speak to me. For I want to hear what you're saying, God. Speak to me. And watch what happens. Pastor Terry get up and he go to flicking through and he go to talking and you said, he talking to me. Why? Because God is getting your attention. He's saying, I'm confirming what I've already spoke to you through the man of God. I'm telling you. I was going through, but I was studying the book of Romans, the 6th chapter. God is my witness. If Pastor Terry didn't get up and preach on it, and I said, woo-wee! Yes, feed me, Pastor. You're saying, no, you're a preacher. I'm a disciple. I'm a learner. I mean, no, we need to remain teachable so we can learn. Don't ever assume that you got it all, but if you're open to hear, God will speak to you. And man, I text him. He said, well, you should have just went on. It wouldn't have bothered me. But I mean, have you ever heard a word preached? And it just, I know what the disciples felt now when they said, man, did our hearts not burn as he broke the word of God. Man, I was burning back here. I was saying, whoo, glory to God, come on, preach it. I was having a fit because God was confirming. The Holy Spirit knew, oh, I'm going to blow it up for you now, John. I said, whew, my Jesus. But when we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, God can do great things, church. But see, no flaky stuff. Come on now. He's a gentleman. He's real. He has order. He has a way, God's way of doing things. Amen. It might not look like you think it should look, but how many know it's going to help? He's here to build up, not tear down. Not to expose dirty laundry, but to build up, to correct, to lead in righteousness. Amen? Are you still there? Amen. I said in closing. Now, is there anybody here that do not know Jesus Christ? You don't know him as your Lord and Savior. Because how many know that if you don't have his spirit, you're none of his? And I'm not saying that out of John. That's what the scriptures teaches. Amen? So nobody here, everybody here is born again, I assume, right? All right. Say, I'm going to learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Jesus have given him to me. Therefore, I want his guidance. I want his teaching. I want his wisdom. I want his revelation. Why? So that you can live victorious. God bless you.
Watch out. He
brought the heat. How many been fed today? Amen. Thank you, Pastor John. Just a couple announcements real quick before we get out of here. Children and youth and adult Wednesday night services resume as normal. One thing that's special about this particular Wednesday night, if you have any students that are in youth and they want to go out to eat with the youth, they are going to the Mexican restaurant this particular Wednesday night. So send them along with a $10 bill and a tip for, you know, the driver or something like that. Doesn't say that. Also, if several of you are asking about the training yesterday, it has been recorded and it's online. You can watch it later. We have the notes up right now. The audio recording will be up there as soon as I get to my laptop and can upload the MP3 file. But you can go to fathersvineyard.org/AI. And so it was content rich. Dale, thank you so much. Brother Dale came in and his colleagues taught that class. And there's a lot of things going on with technology. This isn't to spook anybody. This isn't to try to make a boogeyman. But we got to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. So we need to know the schemes of the enemy. It is a tool, but unlike other tools that just pop, pop, this thing is a nuclear bomb. So we better know how to handle it with care, okay? You ready to go out and take on the world? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you and we honor you for what you sowed into this man of God and he was able to give us this morning. We thank you for this word. We thank you for Pastor John. We thank you for allowing him to be touched by you so he could touch us. So, Lord, we're going to take this word of encouragement. We're going to take this word that you've given him, and we're going to walk it out, because we walk by faith, not by sight, not by feelings, not by adorations of man, but because we please you and you are pleased with us. And we thank you for that this morning as we go out. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.